Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, and the evil tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit shall be cut down, and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. By their fruits shall you know them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel is, of course, taken from the latter portion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, that sermon in which he lays out for Catholics, for the Christians, the new ways, his new commandments, the new spirit in which they are meant to live. And, as he comes to this point in the Gospel, he warns us that we are going to have to discern good from evil, that we will have to be able to know who was a true teacher and who was a false one, and the necessity of discerning the good from the bad, that there would be false preachers, men who would, they would be clothed in the clothing of sheep, meaning they would try to appear as one of the followers of Christ, but they would actually be ravenous wolves, be those who would try to disperse the flock, perhaps even unknown to themselves. And there have been many, of course, many examples in church history of this. In every stage of the church, there have always been those who have separated themselves from the church, who have gone out and tried to lead others out with them, away from the church. There was, from the earliest centuries, the different heresies, those who proposed these heresies, trying to mask them with the words of the scriptures taken out of context. There's the example, especially that's often brought up in the many commentaries on this passage. For example, Cornelius a Lapide, he speaks of the Protestantism, the Luther and Calvin, who would try to use scripture to put forth their opinions, but in fact they're taken out of context. They're not seen as for what they really are. They're trying to appear as sheep, but they are not. They say that you can be clothed, or you can be saved by faith alone, that if you have faith, then it's like a blanket which covers over you, and your sins don't show anymore. In fact, Luther would go so far as to say, "Sin and sin boldly, just believe more boldly." But it's not hard to see that if that is your outlook on life, the bad fruits that would come from such things, from such teaching. And so, yes, we do have to see, what are the fruits of it? Where does it lead? Is this good? Well, of course not. And in our own day, we have all the errors of modernism, this idea of this modernist idea of trying to compromise or to conform the church, the teachings of our Lord, to the spirit of the world, to the point of compromising it in matters which are essential for the faith. Well, we see the bad fruits that have been coming from it. They said they were going to open the doors of the church to let the people in, but in fact, everyone went out. you know, so many things today. We have to discern. We have to be careful, to beware of those the false teachings, the false preachers, to really try to understand. And St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom, you know, they point out that this is when our Lord speaks then of the good tree and the bad tree, that is what he is speaking of. That is kind of the literal meaning, you know, speaking about, you know, the good tree, the church. It will, you know, those who are the true followers of the church, they will always have these, you know, these good fruits. And the evil tree can only but bring forth, those who, you know, put forth heresies, they can only but bring forth the evil fruits. But they point out that in a general sense, we can relate this passage also to ourselves, to our own will, to see our own will as that tree. You know, what fruits do we look for? What fruits do we see in ourselves, in our own will? Does it bring forth good fruit, or does it bring forth bad? What fruits is it that we are looking for? We have to look towards our habits, for it's our habits which give strength to our will, one way or another. What are the things that I do habitually? These are the things that we will call either virtues or vices. St. Augustine speaks of virtue as a good habit which cannot be used for evil. You know, that which is something, it's a good habit, it's that by which we do something easily, with quickness, with cheerfulness, and with promptitude. It's easy, it's quick, and it's, you know, something we do right away. It's something that we have practiced again and again. You know, someone who plays one note on a piano is not because of that one note now a pianist. To be a pianist, you have to practice again and again, to repeat, to play the repetition, to try to become better in it each time, until finally, yes, you can play with quickness, with ease, anything that you would like. And it brings, you know, you have the joy of it then. When you first start to play the piano, it's perhaps not the most enjoyable thing, trying to find the right keys, there's many difficulties to overcome. But once you have overcome it, then you're able to play well in it, and you have the joy of having that good habit. It's the same with the virtues in the moral life. They are acquired in this way, with, you know, the simple actions again and again, and they may be difficult at first. So we can look and see, the tree of my will, is it strong with the virtues, or is it full of vices, rather? Is it held up with vice? Am I rather quick and easy to do the wrong rather than to do the good? In looking at this idea, we can look perhaps into the very first psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1, in which it says, "Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the chair of pestilence. His will is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he shall meditate day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water. That is the man who is happy. That is the man who is blessed. The one who is like a tree planted near running water. One is happy who brings forth the good fruit of virtue." That virtue, that good habit, as I say, once we're able to do the good actions with promptness, with that virtue, with that ease, from having repeated it so many times, that is when we will truly find joy and happiness in it. Evil, at first, is attractive. Because of the wounds of original sin, we all have a proneness, a tendency towards evil. And that is kind of the idea of that first verse of the psalm. But we will be happy if we go against it, if we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then having gone over to the ungodly, listen to their counsels, we stand in the way of sinners. We've become kind of fixed there. And then even more unhappy is the one who has become so long fixed in sin that they no longer even struggle against them, to sit in that chair of pestilence, which is, of course, not at all an attractive resting place. No, rather, those who are conformed to God's law, they are happy and blessed. Those whose will is the law of the Lord and who meditate upon it day and night. They will be like the tree, their will firm and strong in those good actions, in those good desires, in the following of the law of the Lord. And they will be like that tree planted along running water, moving water, the idea of living water, as we can think about it, water which has movement in it. And there we can immediately think, of course, of our Lord's discourse to the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob, when he promised her living water, that water by which she would not thirst again, which is, of course, sanctifying grace. This image of the tree planted along the running water is very much that same image. Our wills planted firmly in the law of God, meditating on Him, keeping ourselves close to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can develop those virtues by which our will be strengthened, like that tree, which is strengthened by the waters which from which it drinks. Now, St. John Marie Vianney, in commenting in his sermon on this topic, he says, "Perhaps you will say to me, I have done nothing but evil all my whole life. I am just a bad tree, and so I will never be able to bring forth good fruit." Here we have to remember that the gospel is speaking, of course, of those teachers. As long as someone is involved in those false teachings, they will not bring forth good fruit. But when, if we are looking at it rather about ourselves, then we can become a good tree. My dear brethren, says St. John Vianney, that can very well be, as I'm going to show you. You can change this tree, moisten it with different water, treat it with some other fertilizer, and you will see that it will bear good fruit, even though it has been bearing bad fruit up to the present. If this tree, which is yourself, has been fruitful in pride and avarice and impurity, you can, with the grace of God, see to it that these fruits become rather abundant in humility, in charity, in purity. Do yourself as the earth did, which before the flood drew from its own bosom the water to moisten itself, without having recourse to the clouds of heaven to give it fertility. In the same way, my dear brethren, draw from your own hearts that salutary water, which will change your dispositions. You have watered your tree with the foul water of your passions. Well, now, from now on, water it with the tears of repentance, of sorrow, and of love. You will see that you will cease to be a bad tree and will become one which will bear fruit for life eternal. St. John Vianney went on in his sermon to give as his example St. Mary Magdalene. St. Mary Magdalene, whose feast day we have on the 22nd, this coming week. So we, you know, trying to see, you know, her, in her, the example. She's the patron saint of penitence. So the example of one who was able to become a good tree. You know, she was one, the Gospels tell us, whom everyone knew as a sinner. All of those who were at the meal that our Lord was at knew of her as a great sinner. You know, she was one who had fed her passions. She had followed them into their iniquity. She was one who sat in the chair of pestilence, fixed in those sins, until she began to hear the teachings of our Lord. She began to hear the Gospels being preached, being spoken of. And this led her to consider her past life, to weep, to have that repentance, to begin to water that tree of her will with that new water. Till finally she learned where he was, and going to seek repentance. You know, perhaps she was there among the crowd first when our Lord said to the man sick of the palsy who had been let down from the roof. Perhaps she had heard him say, "Go in peace, thy sins are forgiven thee." And then later, "That you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk." Perhaps she had seen that miracle, and her heart filled now with that love, that desire for repentance, that desire to change. She began to water that will, her will with those things. And yes, she became that great tree of the great saint of St. Mary Magdalene. So great, in fact, would she become to be the first that our Lord would appear to, other than his mother, of course, after his resurrection. Yes, indeed, we can, even ourselves, try to seek this water, to meditate on the law of the Lord, to seek this running water that we might live, to try to develop in ourselves these virtues by which we will be able to do the will of God with cheerfulness. St. Vincent de Paul, whose feast day is today, you know, his friends would say about him, "Vincent is always Vincent," by which they meant, no matter what happened in prosperity or in adversity, he was always the same cheerful person. Why? The reason was simple. He had abandoned himself completely into God's hands. He did not wish for anything that God did not wish for him. On occasion, the saint used to say, "Conformity to the divine will is the Christian's treasure for the remedy of all our ills, because it implies abandonment of self and union with God and all virtue." By being united with God, we are united to all virtue. And that is what helps us to be firm, to be strong, and to remain cheerful even in adversity. St. Francis de Sales also, he would say, you know, it is not enough to do God's will, but we must do it cheerfully. He said himself that if he were not a bishop, if he knew what it meant to be one, it is probable that he would not want to be one. But since he is one, it is necessarily for him not merely to do all that that office demanded, but to do it generously, cheerfully, and with pleasure. St. Paul tells us that each one must do the task assigned to him. We must bear each one our own burden, not those of others. For this reason, God wants us to abandon ourselves, our own wills, to think, I would rather have this or that, or that I would rather be here than there, is a temptation. Our Lord knows what he is doing. He knows what he wills. Let us do what he wills. Let us remain where he has placed us, and rather seek to meditate on the law of God, to meditate on the things which he wants us to do, the tasks which he has asked us to perform, and by doing them readily, willfully, cheerfully, we will develop that virtue which will help our will to become that strong tree which will bring forth many good fruits. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.